on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the end of the Minion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And Greg Hayes has arisen too. He's with us. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Sean. Big show today. We've got four guests coming up. We'll speak with Nathan Jack first up this morning. He drove the New South Wales Trotters Derby winner on Saturday night at Menangle. He drove Custodian. Impressive victory. He was a fives-on favourite. He was expected to win, but it was the splits, the last three splits that were so impressive. 28-7, 27-8, 29-6. So we'll have a chat to Nathan about Custodian. Also today, we're going to speak with Jared Alchin, who is the trainer of I'm a Mystery Girl. Jared trekked all the way from Menangle out to Dubbo on Friday night and won the Red Ochre Mares Classic. I'm a Mystery Girl was too strong in that race, so we're going to catch up with Jared today. Also have a chat with Blake Fitzpatrick. He's got the very smart Quilla Bomber absolutely flying at the moment. Took out the Trotters Marathon on Saturday night there at Menangle. It was race number six on the program and won quite convincingly, won by the best part of 10 metres, but it's the form that the five-year-old's in. He looked as though he was ready to win a race about three or four runs ago, and since then he's gone second win-win. So he's in good form at the moment. We'll find out what Blake's got in store for him. And he also had a first starter called Mia Bomber in the two-year-old race. Now, it galloped at the start, must have given them the best part of 70 or 80 metres. It was only a field of four, and the third and fourth horses both galloped as well. But Mia Bomber ran second in the race and was only beaten about 17 metres. So we'll have a chat to Blake about that as well. And we're going to speak with Mick Guerin this morning because the Harness Duels are on Saturday. Looking forward to getting over to Ashburton to bring you all of that coverage on Sky Racing along with Adam Hamilton and all of the Group 1 races on Saturday afternoon you'll see on Sky. And, of course, well, it's going to be an afternoon for Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen. The six pacing events, they've got the favourite in every one of those races. And the only race where their favourite isn't odds on is the four-year-old Emerald, which is the four-year-old boys. And guess what? They've got the two favourites, Heaven Rocks at $2.10 and Waikiki Beach at $2.80. So it looks to be an absolute fill-up for the Purden stable on Saturday. But more about that a little bit later on in the show. Nathan Jack drove Custodian to victory in the New South Wales Trotters Derby on a Saturday night. Very impressive performance. Looks a really nice three-year-old trotter. Nathan's joining me on the show. Morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, the performance by Custodian, ripped along in the middle stages of that race, but he looks a really impressive three-year-old.
Yeah, you know, obviously he was a good two-year-old, and they're not good if they don't win the Jewels in the British Crown. And he had a break, and it was a fair bit of pressure on us to see if we could get him back, you know, take him one off Mark that's done what he'd done, and trying to get him back. But to win on Saturday night was, that was the icing on the cake.
To going into Saturday night's race, he was the dominant favourite. He was expected to lead, expected to win. So obviously, and with the fact that he was such a talented two-year-old, that comes with a bit of added pressure as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like he was long odds on, obviously, and we expected him to win. We were hopeful, but we respected all the others in it as well. We weren't just going in there thinking we're just going to go there and come home victorious. We had a lot of respect for all the opposition, but yeah, to win on Saturday night, that was a bonus.
As he's getting older and getting more races under his belt, is he becoming a horse that can get over a little bit longer distance? Is he learning to race over the mile and a half?
Yeah, that's one thing that's in his favour, Greg. His manners are getting a lot better this time. I mean, he's a lot more mature than he was when Mark had him. He's a big, immature sort of fella. But yeah, that's his first time over the 2400 the other night, and he ran it out quite good. I don't think the distance will phase in come Derby time.
So what do you do? Take him back to Victoria and get him ready for some of the features down there?
He'll just have a little brief let up now and probably miss the home field and concentrate on the Derby and the Breeders' Crown and then have another good spell.
What sort of, in terms of long-term future, you know, if everything goes in the right direction, are you thinking that you've got a horse that can race in the big trotting races as a, you know, as an open-age horse?
Oh, we're hopeful. That's why we sort of don't overtax him as a young horse, and we'll just look after him at three and four, and then hopefully at five he can just thrown into the deep end, and hopefully we'll have a green circuit sort of horse that can go around in all the big cotton races. Yeah, that's the aim.
So what was the story? He obviously started his career with Mark Purden. Did the owners buy him or did they transfer him to you guys?
He started with Roddy Butt and then we sort of got a syndicate together and purchased him and Roddy kept him for the size. He ran second to Enheim. And then we asked Roddy. Roddy stayed in him, which was great. And we asked him if he minded if we'd send him to Mark for the jewels and no, Roddy was all for that. So we sent him to Mark for the jewels and he'd won the jewels, so thought it was only fair enough to leave him there with him for the Breeders' Crown. And he came out and won the Breeders' Crown too. So, yeah, you know, like when we bought him, we obviously paid good money for him, but when we bought him, to think that in about six or seven runs for us, he would have won three group ones, we were dreaming.
Yeah, no, well, he looks to be a very stylish individual. He did that on Saturday night with ease, and we look forward to seeing more of him over the coming months as you get him ready for those bigger races in Victoria.
Yeah, no, thanks, Greg, and we'll be there come the big ones, hopefully.
There he is, Nathan Jack, who drove Custodian to victory in Saturday night's New South Wales Trotters Derby. Couple of milestones that I want to mention, and I know that there's a big chance that Kerri-Ann Turner will crack 700 career training winners today because she's got a massive team in at Menangle this afternoon. She sits on 699 and I think she's got one in race two today. She's also got one in race three. So there's a big chance that Kerri-Ann's going to bring up her 700th career training winner. And also got a message through last night. Now, this isn't New South Wales related, but keep an eye out for Ricky Duggan. He is only two wins away from becoming the second Tasmanian-based driver to win over 1,500 races. He's on 1,498 career wins. He's rapidly closing the gap to Barry Rattray as Tasmania's all-time leading driver, and it's likely he'll reach the mark this weekend with meetings at Launceston on Friday and Hobart on Sunday. In Tasmania, the drivers with over 1,000 winners, Barry Rattray, Ricky Duggan, Neville Webberley, Darrell Alexander, Gareth Rattray. Good luck to Ricky as he strives towards that 1,500 win mark. And good luck to Kerri-Ann Turner today as she tries to bring up career winner 700. Now, Friday night was an interesting race out at Dubbo. It is a very good series, the Red Ochre, and plenty of talented mares have come through that series. We caught up with Jared Alchin on the show about a month ago now to talk about a handy mare called I'm a Mystery Girl, who he had racing extremely well. He took her down to West Wyalong and she won the cup down there, and she ran second at Menangle at her next run. And since then, Jared decided to set her for the Red Ochre Mares Classic, and he was victorious in that, and he's joining me on the show to have a chat about it. Morning, Jared.
How you going, Greg?
Mate, really well. You know, obviously a fair gamble to take your horse all the way to Dubbo for a heat and a final, but in the end it was well worth the trip and she came away with a victory.
Yeah, no, it was good. It's a long way. I've been there a couple of times before, never taken any of my own, just to drive a couple of David Kennedys in this particular race. And we stayed there the week, and I don't think the horses would have went as good as they did if I hadn't have, I don't reckon. It was good just for him to relax down there for the week and, come away with the money, which was even better.
Last time we spoke to you, it was after that West Wyalong Cup victory. Went to Menangle, was beaten there. Was that Dubbo race always in the back of your mind?
Yeah, it was after West Wyalong. We sort of set her for that, but it was a bit of a gap between there and the Dubbo race, so we thought we better give her a start, and she went sensational at Menangle when she got beat. She ran second to Anything for Love, and she broke 26 the last quarter and was really hitting the line. So after the heat, sort of a couple of people thought she probably didn't go quite as good in the heat at Dubbo, but when she ran third, but her sectionals were really good. So I was never worried, and when she got a really good barrier draw in the final, I just needed there to be some speed on, and there was plenty of that.
Yeah, you were able to drive her very patiently on Friday night, and then you just came with the one run. You must have been giggling with a lap to go.
Yeah, well, I was off the bit the whole way. They were just going that quick. Like, the lead time, I think they said, was one of the quickest lead times ever, and 28 the first quarter. Like, I was off the bit. It had me worried at one stage. I was thinking, geez, I'm off the bit a long way out, but I knew they had to come back to me at some stage, and they did. And yeah, the rest was history.
So, so what do you do now? What sort of races do you look for? She's still an MO. She's, I think she's only a C5, something like that. So, what do you look at now?
She's got the semi-final of the 4-year-old British Challenge here at Menangle. Not this Saturday night, the following one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she'll go around in the semi-final of that and hopefully qualify for the $100,000 final a fortnight after that.
And then has she earned herself a break, or is there another race that you're looking at after that?
The young fellow that works for me, Jason Grimson, he's taken, at this stage he's thinking of taking Don't Think Twice to Queensland for the Queensland Oaks. So if he does that, I'm thinking I might even send her up there for another trip away. So we'll just play it by ear, but see how she comes through the Breeders' Challenge series and just one step at a time.
Speaking of that Breeders' Challenge series, you've got a 2-year-old filly competing in a heat today at Menangle. She's sporty. Got a little bit of time for this filly. She's drawn barrier number one, and it looks a race where she can perform well in.
Yeah, no, she used to do a few things wrong early on, just jump out of a gear for no reason, but we've seemed to rectify that problem. And her last start at Bathurst, she was pretty disappointing. I actually thought she was a good thing in that race, and she went ordinary, but turned out she had a bit of a virus. So we give her a week off and freshened her up, and her trial last week was really good. She gets a good draw this week, so there should be no excuses.
And you got a couple of runners going around in race number 10, Thunder Dance and Terra Man. You're going to drive Thunder Dance?
Yeah, it's a pretty good field. One of Shane Tritton's horses went really good here last week. But Thunder Dance, he's very consistent horse. He's always around the money. We give him a little freshen up after his last run. His work's been really good. And, yeah, he might find it hard to beat the Shane Tritton runner, but they'll know he's there. And Terra Man, he's drawn bad, but his run and his sectionals last week were really good. If there was a lot of speed on, which I think there will be, he'll be running home.
And Saturday night, I was sitting down to do the form last night and noticed Francisco de Gore goes around again this week. You haven't had him long. You happy with him?
Yeah, he's run. He's sort of been outclassed a bit. You know, he's only at C2 and we've been running at MOs, just trying to get that hard racing under his belt. But his run last week was really good. He was still last on the turn and I think he only got beat 3 metres. His sectionals were really good. He's drawn bad on Saturday night, but yeah, you'll have to go back from there. And if there's speed on, they'll know he's there. He's sort of horse that he's a real fat little horse and takes a fair bit of work. So I think this racing in the MOs will really bring him on, and then we can drop him back in grade. And I think he'll have no trouble winning.
I must ask you what it was like out at Menangle working horses this morning. I heard on the radio driving in the coldest autumn day in 18 years in Sydney. How was it?
Yeah, it was no good.
a little bit cold?
When I drove into the stables this morning at 6:30, it said -3 in my car, and it was just white. So I didn't really want to get out of bed this morning, that's for sure.
Well, mate, you are being rewarded at the moment with some really good results for all the hard work you're putting in. Well done, and good luck today and also again on Saturday.
No worries, Greg. Thanks. And I'd just like to thank the Lou family. When I was in Dubbo, they couldn't have done enough for me. The horses stayed at their place, and Barry and Rhonda were so accommodating, and It just made the experience that much better, and wouldn't hesitate to go back again, that's for sure.
They're very good people, Barry and Rhonda Lou. Mate, good luck today.
No worries. Thanks a lot, mate.
There he is, Jared Alchin, the trainer of I'm a Mystery Girl, who took out the Red Ochre at Dubbo last Friday night with a very strong performance. She just sat off them. They did go absolutely lightning through the early stages of that race, and as Jared said, the lead time was super. It was really quick, but in the end, just sitting off the pace, he brought his mare with the one run, and she was able to win the race, and that was a Group 3 $30,000 race, so very good money in the country, and $18,000 going to the connections of that very talented filly, that mare, I'm a Mystery Girl, and now she goes towards the Breeders' Challenge, which that series is already well and truly underway. Now, don't forget tonight on In the Gig from 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2, we've got a discussion on the whip ban and where it is all at the moment. Of course, it was announced last December that harness racing from the 1st of September 2017 would go whip free. We're going to speak with Andrew Kelly, the CEO of Harness Racing Australia, on the program tonight just to find out where everything's at. There's been a lot of discussions, a lot of talks with trainers and drivers from right around Australia. So we'll also have a representative from the trainers' drivers join us, and that will be Lance Justice. So make sure you join us tonight from 6 o'clock where we will discuss what is going on with the whip ban. But right now, Blake Fitzpatrick's going to join me. He's got a very talented trotter called Quillabumba, and it is going extremely well. It's won its last two, and the marathon distance, 3,009 metres, was no problem at all for it on Saturday night, won as it liked. Morning, Blake.
Good morning, Greg.
Quillabumba, you've got it absolutely low-flying.
Yeah, he's racing with a lot of confidence at the moment, Greg, and he's done a terrific job for the stable.
Is he a horse that you always knew there was going to be some ability there, and it was just a matter of getting some confidence with him?
Yeah, definitely, Greg. Clayton Harmy sent him down to me from, he's up at Cessnock, and he always had a good opinion of the horse. It was just a matter of getting him to trot and handle the long straights at Menangle, but he's, the more we've raced him there, the better he's got, and yeah, like I said, he's really racing with confidence at the moment.
He's very versatile too. Like, he's won, obviously, over the 3,009 from the stand on Saturday night. Prior to that, the 2,300. Three starts ago, he was second in a mobile over the 2,300. He's run second in a mile mobile start. So the beauty of this horse is that he's so versatile. Doesn't matter what race is coming up, you can throw him in.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. Probably as a younger horse, he's more a high-speed horse. But as he's got older and matured, he's definitely strengthened up, and I found since he's been with our stable, he's really suited to the longer distance and the standing start. So, yeah, he's a horse that's come a long way quick. He's got right up in the classes quickly, and he's going to have to take the next step now against the better trotters.
So what sort of path do you plan for him now?
He's going to be set now for the Breeders' Challenge, which is at the end of June. Greg, the 4 and 5 year old Breeders' Challenge. Then he'll go for a break after that, and we'll have him back around November, ready for some of the better races in Victoria, hopefully, Greg.
So you're pretty confident that he can take that step to the open grade?
I do, Greg. He's definitely some of the better trotters I've had here at home. He can work as good as them here, and he, on his last two runs, he's really impressed me. So I do think he can take that next step, and we're going to give him his chance.
All right. What about Mia Bomba? It was a two-year-old that made an error in the score up, but then once he consented to trot, he looks like he's got a bit of a motor as well.
Yeah, definitely, Greg. He's without a doubt one of the better two-year-old trotters I've had here, and he's another that Clayton Harmy sent down with a good opinion of, and Clayton has spent a lot of time with him, getting him trotting and keeping him relaxed, and his run on Saturday night was huge. He probably lost 100 metres at the start, and to be only beaten 15 metres from the winner, he was, well, without a doubt, a certainty beaten. So he's just going to have a short break now and get ready for the Breeders' Crown in Victoria.
Okay.
But yeah, he's definitely a horse with a bright future.
And you also won the two-year-old Trotters Foundation final last Tuesday there at Menangle with runaway success. So the trotting side of the stable's running very well at the moment.
Yeah, we've had a great, probably the last three or four seasons with our trotters have been great, and especially our juveniles. The two-year-old trotters coming through each year are getting better, and yeah, they're flying the flag at the moment, Greg.
A couple of runners I want to ask you about today. You've got Urban Girl, a first starter that goes around in a Heat of the Breeders' Challenge. What's she's had a few trials, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has, Greg. She's well grounded for today. She's drawn well, shown ability, but a hard race today. She's racing Molly Kelly, who's a very smart filly. So, yeah, definitely can run a place from the draw, but a filly that will win when she can strike an easier race.
All right. And what about I Like It Hot that goes around in race number 6? That's a heat for the boys, the two-year-old colts and geldings. He looks to be improving with racing.
Definitely, Greg. His last run at Newcastle was really good. He ran second in 54, so he's drawn well today. Once again, he struck a good one, Divine State, so he'll have to be at the top of his game. But from the draw, he's a definite place there.
All right, Blake. Well, congratulations with your performances on Saturday night, and good luck with all of those feature races that you've got planned.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you.
There he is, Blake Fitzpatrick, who is the trainer and driver of Quilla Bomba, who won the Trotters Marathon at Menangle on Saturday night. If you have access to an internet or Facebook, most people do these days, do yourself a favour. Go and have a look at that story or the promotional piece they've put together for the New South Wales Trotters Association. It's an absolute ripper. Power Productions have put it together, and there's interviews with a lot of the leading trainers in New South Wales who have trotters. Blake Fitzpatrick is in that clip. There's also Robbie Morris is in there, Kerri-Ann Turner. Darren Hancock is spoken to as well. Also Troy Williams, who's been a guest on the show the last couple of weeks. So if you get a chance, go and look that up at the new Trotters Association in New South Wales. Have a look at their new promotional piece. Well worth a look. The Harness Duels will be run on a Saturday at Ashburton. You'll see full coverage on Sky, whether it be Sky 1, Sky 2. The races will bounce about depending on what time of the day you are watching because of all of the galloping action, of course, on Sky Racing 1. But Mick Guerin is joining us from New Zealand to have a chat about this. And Mick, it looks to be one of those days where it's a Mark and Natalie day. I was mentioning before, six pacing finals, and they've got odds on favourites in five of the six. Good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Hugh Hayes. Big hi to everybody listening around New South Wales. And yeah, this time last year at the Duels, the All-Stars, as they are known, were able to win five of the races. And could be a similar sort of haul this week. And a couple of those races, it's a choice for the punters of deciding between which All-Stars horse. For example, Heaven Rocks, who is outstandingly good, versus Waikiki Beach, Hazy, who unbelievably hasn't won a race this season. That's in the seventh on the card. That's one of the two races where Mr. Mojito represents Australia. There's two Australians throughout the day. Last on the card, for example, the All-Stars could have, believe it or not, all four favourites. Ultimate Machete, more the better. The Fixer and Stars aligned. But probably there's two or three good things for the day, Hazy, on a day where multi-punters would be wise to play the two, the three, and then try and get some value, particularly for those who like to play on the fixed odds and struggle to get on at the fixed odds. I find that the multi-bets, Hazy, do tend to mean that the bookies will let you on for a bit more.
All right. Well, Tab's got their markets up. What do you think are the bankers for Saturday?
Look, I think the obvious two is race three, number one. The Ladyship Mile winner, Piccadilly Princess, struggled to get into the race because you need to earn stake money in New Zealand, and she only got in the last week. But barrier one, she'll lead, worked sensationally well yesterday morning at Addington. There were private workouts. The Purden team took their own horses to the workouts and worked them privately. And she was the horse they were the happiest with. So race three, that's 10:57 Sydney time. Race three, number one, Piccadilly Princess, is an absolute anchor. So too is race six, number two, Spankham. Should lead, should be winning. Now, there's not much value there, $1.20, $1.15 type thing, but that adds 30% to latter prices through the day. So other two big ones for the afternoon. Probably the trotting races are the ones, Hazy, where there's the most confusion over what to expect. But I do like one in a trotting race, not to win. I like it each way. That's race five, number two, President Royden. I think it'll lead. Very good last start. It's up against a standout horse in Ingheim. But the last two times Ingheim has been to Ashburton, he's galloped. Funny track, Ashburton. There's a downhill straight, and it unbalances some horses. So President Royden, if you add him to your multi-bet, either one ticket as a win, where he's around $5.50, another ticket as a place, all of a sudden your $1.30 goes into $1.30, Hazy, and you're getting $1.69 for that sort of spend. Then you can afford to add in the $5 chances, the ones you like the most throughout the day, and you're sort of ending up around that sort of $8.50 region for your dollar for what should be two certainties, a place certainty, and then maybe one of your bets.
Mate, I must ask you about the two Aussie chances. One Muscle Hill goes around in the two-year-old Ruby. The trot has drawn barrier 10 inside second row. Mark Purden's going to drive for Nicole Melander. Mark knows One Muscle Hill well. Do you give him any chance of an upset victory?
Yeah, he's got a good chance. The reason being is they took the blinds off last start and he behaved terribly. But they put the blinds back on yesterday morning at Addington for those private workouts. Far better, trotted smoothly. He follows out a horse who has good gate speed and Springbank lock. He could potentially even lead. Now, that would put One Muscle Hill on the trail, and that gives him a huge chance. He's not foolproof, but Mark told me this morning he thinks he'll trot all the way. A lot of horses in this crop are starting to weaken off. He could sit in the trail or three back on the inside, which is not too bad at Ashburton. He's a good each-way chance and the good chance of becoming the first ever Australian to win the Jewels. And in race seven, Mr. Mojito, barrier two, he's a very good horse. Excellent last time at Melton when he blew out behind our Field Marshal. That form has been pranked with our Field Marshal winning a free-for-all last week. Can he beat Heaven Rocks and Waikiki Beach? I'm not sure, but he's got the draw, and I'm not sure why Kiki Beach has got much of a killer instinct at the moment. So he's, again, an each-way chance, although you'd be wanting, I reckon, eights and 250 for him, Hazy.
All right. Well, mate, we look forward to seeing all of the coverage. I'll be over there. We'll have the trackside coverage, and we'll also have a little bit of Adam's and my coverage in that as well. Mate, all of the best of luck for Saturday, and catch up with you soon.
Travel safe, mate. See you then.
There he is, Mick Geeran, who is going to be part of that trackside coverage on Saturday when you will see all of the Jewels action here on Sky. Keep in mind, it is an afternoon meeting, so it will kick off early Saturday morning Australian time, and then once the gallop racing starts to kick in, you'll see those bigger races move across to Sky Racing too. So it's just a matter of checking your guide to make sure if you want to watch the Jewels races, you are on the right channel. Sean, that wraps it up. I'll be back again next Tuesday with another show, and don't forget tonight in the gig from 6 o'clock, we've got that Whips special. We're going to catch up with Andrew Kelly and also Lance Justice.
Good on you, Hayes. You talk to you then.
Thanks, mate.